Thank the Lord. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. Boy, did you enjoy preaching conference last week? Man, it's so good to have Brother Murphy. You saw that picture I put up there on the screen of Brother Murphy? You know, I asked him, I said, send me a picture to put on the flyer that we're going to send out. Send me a picture. And that's the picture he sent me. Amen. The one with his hair, he's going like this, you know. And that's why he reminded me of Animal on the Muppets, you know. And, but man, they were all on fire last week. Amen. Amen. Brother Davis, man, what a blessing. Amen. And, you know, when you hear a preacher like Brother Davis, it's all the character and the honor and where he's been that undergirds everything he says. Amen. And man, what a blessing. Thank the Lord. And then Brother Angel, wow, powerful messages. Powerful messages, wonderful messages. Keep in your heart. And by the way, we put those all online. If you like them or want to link someone else to them, you're welcome to do that. And we don't, of course, we don't charge for that. Go listen to all the sermons you can. Amen. And by the way, let me say this. I think it's good for a Christian to be listening to good sermons during the week. Amen. Not just Sunday or Wednesday night, but man, all the week long. Feed yourself with the Word of God. Feed yourself with the Word. God will bless it. Well, the Lord's put upon my heart about the roles that we fulfill and the roles that God has given to us. And I spoke a week ago Sunday night on the role of a husband and wife. And the Lord just put upon these thoughts in my mind. I'd like to preach a lot of things I heard last week, but this is what God's put upon my mind. Amen. And I want to speak tonight on the role, or this morning, on the role of a parent. The role of a parent. Amen. You know, being a parent is one of the most blessed things that you could ever have in your life. It is amazing when God births that child into your life. It's an amazing thing. And I want to speak on that thought this morning and speak on the role of being a parent. So let's begin Proverbs chapter 22, and let's begin with verse number 1 in God's Word this morning. Trust you'll follow along, please, as I read this passage of Scripture. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Everybody's going after riches today, but not necessarily after a good name. God said it's a better choice. And loving favor rather than silver and gold. The rich and poor meet together. The Lord is the maker of them all. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. But the simple pass on and are punished. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. But he that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. Now, verse 6 is my text. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your blessings. And Lord, I pray this morning that you'd take thy word and meet it every need on this all-important subject. Thank you, dear Lord, for the privilege to open our Bibles this morning. God, I pray you speak to someone's heart. Lord, the work that you did in our heart this week, God, may it be stirred up again by the word as it's preached this morning. Father, use it, we pray. And Lord, we'll be careful to thank you and honor you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The role of a parent is not necessarily an easy one, especially in the day and the age of which we live. But it is still a blessed privilege from God. And God wants us to know how to raise our children. Do you know the Bible is a book that if it's followed, it can conquer the difficulties of any generation. It can overcome whatever we're facing today if we'll follow it. You know, the problem in our world today is people aren't following the Word of God. People are following their own mind and their own path, and can I tell you, they're getting their own results. They're not getting the results that God intended. The home was not created by man. The home was created by God. It was God that created the institution of marriage, and it's God that blesses that marriage with children. And by the way, I said a marriage with children. Amen? Hey, when you get old enough, may I tell you what? Don't go out and shack up with somebody. Amen. Don't go shacking up. Don't be sneaking behind the barn and doing things you shouldn't do. Amen. Keep yourselves pure for the one God has given you. Keep yourself pure. Oh, I know a lot of people who regret after they've been married for years. They regretted the things they did before they got married. Don't live like that. You know, I said it this past week. Learn to say no. Say it with boldness. And walk away. Say no. Say it with boldness. And walk away. Well, that'll keep you out of a lot of trouble in life. But the role of a parent is a plan that God designed. And you know, God's got the answers for parenthood today. God's got the answers. His word will not return void. God has the answers. And if you don't believe that, may I tell you what? It's because you're not following it. You're not following it by faith. But God has some answers. And God wants our hearts to be attached to His answers and how God teaches us to raise our kids. You know, not too long ago, we sent our last of our seven out. May I tell you, seven's not the number of perfection. Amen? It's the number of completion. Amen? But man, we're empty nesters now. I never thought we'd get to that place. But here we are. You say, well, what are you going to do about it? I'm going to take my wife and go to Tahiti. Amen? No, I don't know. Maybe Tulsa. I'm not sure. That's a little more practical. Amen? A little more practical. But I don't know. But I'm saying, a parent, it is both the biggest challenge today and is both the biggest blessing today. And I want to tell you something. God wants it to be a greater blessing than it is a challenge. And God has something to say about it. So let's look here. Verse 6. I want you to notice, first of all, the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. That's a promise of God.
That's right.
Train him up. Now that means, first of all, you got to start early. Thank God for parents who they have that baby at baby's birth. Mom starts getting a little recovery. Boy, that baby's in the church nursery from then on.
Amen.
Thank God for that.
Amen.
Amen. Don't wait. I heard a man one time say, well, I want my kids to sow their wild oats and get their wild oats sown and get them out of them so when they become an adult, they'll have that past them. Let me tell you something. Some never get past it.
Yeah, right.
I don't even want them to sow wild oats. They don't need to sow wild oats. They don't need to get that out of their system. Once they get it in their system, they may never want to get it out of their system. Start early. Start young. Can I tell you what? Many parents don't have their kids in church, and you are failing your children. When you don't have your children in church, under the Word of God, the Bible says, train up a child in the nurture and admonition of what? The world?
No.
The nurture and admonition of the Lord. Got to raise them up in the Lord's ways, in the Lord's house, in the things of God. We got to raise them up that way. A lot of parents don't care about that today. They want their kids to turn out good and be good. But they don't want to raise them in church. May I tell you something? You can't have a good pie without a good recipe. You can't have a good pie without a good recipe. God's just train up your child in the way he should go. Do you know what that word train means in this passage? That word train means narrow. It means narrow up a child. It means teach them the narrow way. Not the broad way that leads to destruction that Matthew 7 is talking about. But train them up. Narrow them up. You say, oh, Bible believers are narrow-minded. Let me tell you something. We may be narrow-minded in the thinking of this world, but when you open your mind to God's world, it opens wide up. It's a wonderful life. I tell you, you say, do you want your kids to think narrowly? I want them to think that narrow right there. That's the narrow thinking I want them to have. And I'm going to tell you, you've got to train them up. It takes 24/7, 365. And you do get a little sleep every now and then. Well, God says train them up, narrow them up. That means when they're trained up narrow, means they don't allow everything else into their life. Bad influences are kicked out. Bad friends are not allowed in their life. I said bad friends are not allowed in their life. I may have to say it three times. But do you realize your kids are more influenced by their friends than they are you? They are. And that's why you got to teach them the narrow way. You say, oh, well, they won't like me when they get old. Let me tell you something. When you raise a child in a narrow way, in God's way, they get old, they're going to thank you from all the things that they never had, all the old baggage they never had to get rid of in their life. They're going to thank you. They're going to thank you. Train up a child in the way he should go. I've written down 10 reasons children go astray. I want to give them to you. Here's 10 reasons children go astray. Number one is they never trained from an early age. Number two, they're never disciplined. They're never told they're wrong when they do wrong. Number three, negative influences are allowed in their life. Number four, spiritual influences are not esteemed in their life. Number five, no love and interest in them. Number six, no personal attention to a child. Number seven, no good examples in their life to follow. Number eight, their flesh becomes strong. Number nine, the attraction of the world draws them. And number 10, we spoil them with material possessions. I believe those are 10 reasons why children go wrong. And so I just want to speak to you parents today. Number one, let me say this. The role of being a parent must be accepted and planned and desired to do a good job at it. You have to start by desiring. God gave him this child. Guess what? I've got to cowboy up and be what God wants me to be for that child's life. You know what I find? I find a lot of parents aren't ready to be a parent. They have a child, but they never desire. Soon as they're a child themselves. We have children raising children. And they've never grown up, never accepted their own responsibility. And parents, you know, we got to teach them to grow up, to work, to have chores, to do right, to live decent and godly. And when you don't feel like doing something, you still got to do it. Amen? You know, my dad had a way of making me understand that there were some things I had to do even though I didn't feel like it. You didn't tell my dad, I don't feel like it. He'd say, well, I could make you feel worse. Amen. And he did a couple times. Yeah. But a child needs to be trained so that when they're ready to be an adult, ready to have a family, their mind is, I'm giving myself to my wife, my husband, and I'm going to be a responsible, godly parent, and I'm going to start early raising them in the Lord. Hey, don't wait till they're a teenager.
Yeah.
Don't wait till they're a teenager. Start them early. Let them learn the Word of God in their life. Bring them to church. I see so many parents, well, do you want to go to church tomorrow?
Yeah.
And they'll tell the bus worker, no, Johnny doesn't want to go to church. May I tell you what? As soon as that child wants to go do something else that they want, that's not right, well, mama let them do that. You know, or mama wants him to do something that isn't good, and she feels it bad enough, boy, she'll make him do that. But to tell them to get on that church bus and go to church, I'm simply saying we got to train our children up in the ways of the Lord.
Amen.
Of the Lord. Amen. The role of being a parent has to be accepted and desired in it. Number two. The role of being a parent means we have to nurture the child. Nurture the child. Go to Ephesians chapter 6 with me. Take your Bible and go over to Ephesians chapter 6 with me. I want to show you what the Bible says about this. Ephesians chapter number 6. Look at verse number 4. Notice what the Bible says. It says, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the what? Nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know the word nurture, it means to actually tutor a child. It means to take time to train them. I've made the mistake as a parent of disciplining my child for something they didn't really understand they weren't supposed to do. And the fact went back to me because I didn't train them already in that matter. But see, a parent has to take them and start teaching them and training them at an early age, spending time with them, working with them. If you don't do that, can I tell you what? You lose their attention on you. Because they're going to have their attention on something. Right? It might be a video game. It might be something on their phone. It might be the wrong kind of friends. And if you haven't nurtured it already, they find no reason to listen to mom and dad. I find sometimes that a lot of parents make this mistake of not training when they're young. You know what I like? I like Lincoln Logs. How many of you ever have Lincoln Logs? You know what Lincoln Logs are? Lincoln Logs are a time to sit down and train them how to do something, how to put those pieces together. The little slots fit in the next slot. And you may not understand this, but when you're teaching and training at a young age, they draw their attention to you. They think you know the answers of life and that you're smarter than anybody. That's what I want my kids to think. Now, the truth is, I'm not smarter than anybody, but I want them to think I am. Amen? And I want them to think, if I spend time with them, by the way, if I spend time with them, they're going to want to spend less time on that phone or on that video game. Amen? It's called training up a child. It's raising them up. It's tutoring them through every little thing in life. Amen. You know, some parents have the idea, well, when they're little, I wait till they get to be 5 or 6 and then I can talk to them. Let me tell you something. Come down. Come down when they're young and play and get them to think that you know everything. You've got all the answers, that you are mom, you're dad, and they will honor that in life. Amen. Don't wait. Don't think, well, as soon as they turn 13, I'm going to teach them some lessons in life. The problem is between years 1 and 13, the world's already taught them a lot of lessons in life. That's the problem. So I'm saying nurture. Scripture teaches nurturing, tutoring that child, training them up. And let me say, the curse of this generation is that parents don't want to take time to do that. We're on our phones. We're doing our own thing. And we don't have the time for our children when they are the most precious thing that God's given us. So I say to you today, if you want children to grow up and honor you and be blessed, start early. Get you some Lincoln Logs. Amen? Go to Walmart and the ladies will say, what are you buying them Lincoln Logs for? Because my preacher said to do it. No, I'm simply saying, you have to nurture them. Amen. They have to be nurtured. And men, that's not just mother. That's not just mother. We have to nurture our children. Notice what else it says here in verse 4. Bring them up in the nurture and what? Admonition of the Lord. I looked the word admonition up. You know what it means? It means mild rebuke. Mild rebuke. You know, every correction to our children does not demand a frantic answer. No, don't do that. Not everything does that. I told you not to roll the toilet paper out that way. You know, a lot of parents get like that. They get a little frantic in their train. Admonition is mild rebuke. It's, oh no, we don't want to do that. Oh no, we can't go in that direction. What would God want us to do? It's allowing the little mind to develop a thinking process at an early age. You know, they say, I don't know if this is true, but they say that most of our patterns in life are, half of our pattern, 50% of our patterns in life are developed by the age 3. Yeah. Age 3. Those little minds are sharper than you think. Raise them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I like seeing Bible verses on people's homes. Don't you think the kids see those too? My grandmother had one. It said, 7 days without prayer makes 1 week. W-E-A-K. I love that. I still remember that being there. So I'm simply saying admonition. When a child wants to do wrong, you don't always have to go frantic. You just, it's an opportunity to teach. Hey, look, we don't do that. We don't want to do that. We want to go what God would have us to do. This is what God would have us to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's good. Nurture and admonition of the Lord. Number 3, a third ingredient is love. Love. I'm shocked today when I read in the newspaper about parents who would abuse a child. Yes, right. Misuse a child. That makes me sick. Yes. I want to pull that child out and say, let me give him a real home. Amen. Home of happiness and joy. A home where love is. See, love is a vital ingredient to the home. And it should be, as Christians, the love of Christ comes out in our life. And it comes to our families, it comes to our children. And you know why love is so important? Because when it's genuine, it tells the child that there's love here, peace, there's security. And the Bible says in the world you'll have tribulation. And if they have joy and peace in a wonderful place, in a secure place, they're going to want to be a part of that. And it's the same with the church. You know, I've heard of churches that have a bunch of turmoil and trouble. And you know what happens? When the teenagers get of age, they're gone. They don't want that in their life. That's why I believe both a church and a home, when there's love, genuine love, it does some wonderful things in the life of a young person. You know, young people are going to have their ups and downs and their faults and their failures. But despite it, we need to let love prevail in their life. Years ago, I was in church. I was an assistant pastor years ago. Feels like a long time ago, amen? Feels like when Noah got off the ark sometimes, amen? But I was an assistant pastor years ago, and there was a man that came to church, and he was really very overbearing with his children. And his children came to church, and man, they sat like arrows. And that's good. But when one of them made the slightest little mistake, the dad was sitting behind him. He reached up, pow, smacked him on the back of the head and looked at him like, don't take a picture of that. Amen. I looked at him like that. And I saw the child do this. You know, that wasn't correcting that child, was it? It was embittering the child because the discipline was done in the wrong way. I really wondered if that child had any love also in their home. You say, oh, preacher, that's a bunch of lovey-dovey stuff. Let me tell you what power of love can do. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not. Love is powerful. But it's got to be genuine. It's got to be genuine. So I'm saying love is a key ingredient. As a parent, love. Don't favor one child over another. Don't say, I like this one better. This one acts more like me. So I like that one a little bit better. This one acts like my mother-in-law. Hey, listen, they're all yours. God gave them all to you. Love them all equally. Equally and faithfully. Admonition, mild rebuke. You know, there are times when we can go to our children and just teaching and training them and say, you know, what if this happened in your life? We used to sit down in family devotions and read these books, and they would portray a story of a child in their life and how the child ran into a problem or an issue. And we'd say to our kids, what would you do? How would you handle that? And then a Bible verse would be brought in. And a Bible verse would be the remedy for that problem. So that a child can understand when they run across that problem, there's a Bible verse for the problem. And if they're wise enough to follow it, God will bless their life. And you know, every principle in the Bible takes faith to follow. Everyone. And if you say, I don't have much faith, then you won't follow the principles of God. And if you don't follow the principles of God, you won't have success in being a parent. And raising children is going to be more of a headache to you than a blessing. Oh, I'm saying to you today, love your children. Love them. Love, nurture, admonition. Now we get to the bad part. Discipline. A child needs discipline. Oh, listen to me. By the way, love is the foundation of discipline. Amen. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. You say, I'll be honest with you, it was easier to discipline my boys than it was my girls. The girls just look up into you with those eyes and blink and smile, and you want to say, all right, next time, I'll punish you next time. You do that again, I'll give it to you. No, but I'm saying discipline. Discipline a child. You know, sometimes a child will just act out and be wild and run around and be crazy just because they're not disciplined. They're not disciplined. I tell you, it was hard disciplining kids when they were little because my wife's playing the piano and I'm here up in the pulpit, and I had a time when Katie, my daughter, was a little thing. And Katie and Lindsay, when I first started in the ministry, we put them on the front row in their car seats. Strap them in, amen. Strap them in the front row. There are two sitting up here. And boy, Katie was just, you know, being crazy. And I'm up at the pulpit, and I said, now you sit still and be quiet. And there was one evening service where it was just an old couple, and I knew them. I knew what they were like, and we weren't on Facebook either. And so they said, she just wouldn't listen to me. And I said, folks, excuse me, in the middle of my sermon, middle of the sermon, I said, excuse me, just a moment. I reached down, picked her up, gave her a couple good swats. Now you sit still and you listen. Guess what? She listened. And if she didn't, I'd go back. Amen. Now you say, the world has twisted discipline into cruelty. That is the devil's lie. What's cruel is to let a child go, do all this wicked, weird stuff that they want to do in this world today, and turn out to be a trouble in life. That is cruelty. Amen. Everybody needs discipline, and it starts easier when you start young. We'd come up to church and set them in the pew and say, now you sit still. And there's sometimes my wife would take them in the back and sit them in the back of the auditorium and say, now, you're going to learn to sit still in church. I say, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Train up that child. Narrow them down into the ways. We got this idea, I want to broaden their mind. I don't want to broaden their mind. I want their mind to be on Christ, focused in the right direction. Because in that, that opens them up to all the blessings of God in life. Amen. So I'm simply saying, nurturing, desiring to be a parent, admonition, love, discipline. You know, the Bible teaches that discipline is important for a child. They need to have that. They need to have that. They need to be made to sit still. Amen. We'd do this training where they'd start wiggling around, sit still. Child can learn to sit still. You say my child just can't do it. Let me tell you something. If you teach them and you make them do it, you'll slowly get control of that. And they will. They'll learn. Amen. And if they don't, their little bottom's going to be red trying. Amen. Now, what I'm preaching to you today isn't popular with the world. But just look at the children in the world. That's all you got to do. And see the direction they're going, what they look like, how they act. And we have to understand God has a remedy for raising our children. Can I say next? The next thing is an example. You know, children just need somebody as an example in their life. Every child needs someone they can look to and say, I want to be like them. And do you know who the best ones are that a child should want to be like? It's mom and dad. That's the best choice in life. And it may surprise you, but every little boy wants to be like dad when they grow up. Every little girl should want to be like mom when they grow up. That should be instilled in them, taught in them, trained in them, giving them time, giving them attention, giving them love. You know, when a child doesn't get attention, you know what they'll do? They'll act out. I heard about a man that had a dog, and he never paid any attention to this dog. He just had the dog. He lived in a trailer up in Alaska, and he had a dog, and one day this dog, he never petted him, never showed him any attention, and one day he came home and the dog had literally torn apart the trailer. He was normally a very good, mild dog, but he tore apart the trailer. And can I tell you, the man beat him. He was beating the dog. And he realized something. He said, the dog tore apart my trailer just so he could get my attention. And just so he could, he said, a whooping was better than no attention. He said, and the thought hit me. He said, you know what? I really deserved for the dog to do that. And can I tell you what? Sometimes children do the same thing. They'll act out alive when we don't have time for them. Sure, life is busy, and you can't always do everything like that. I get it. And we never raised our kids just focusing on them 24 hours a day. There's things to do in life. But I'm simply saying, if you never spend time teaching, never spend time training, don't be surprised if they act out and they want to do their own thing in life. And then if that mentality is in them, then when they're a teenager, hey, listen, things are going to break loose when they're a teenager. See, God's got the remedies. And may I tell you something, Christian? We've got to give our heart to the role of being a parent. You know, I'm going to spend some time this week with my son. He likes motorcycles. I like motorcycles. We're going to do some motorcycle riding together. Amen. My son, Taylor, he's 20-something. I don't even know. Amen. He's in his 20s. But I want to spend time with my kids. And I'll tell you what. I know this. Even when they get old, they still need some time with their parents. They still do. And as I get older, I need more time with them for me. Strange thing. Go figure. Amen. But I'm simply saying today, train them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Create a home and create a church where the environment is love and discipline. Those two ingredients, when they become incorporated in the mind of a child through a parent accepting the roles of parenting, they're a great blessing. And I want to tell you something. Now that some of my kids are raised and they're older, serving the Lord, I thank the Lord for it. It's grace of God. And I thank the Lord for that. But I'll tell you one thing. I never tried to be my child's friend when they were growing up. But I'll tell you what, I want to be their friend now that they're grown up. We are friends. Amen. And they still respect me, I hope. Amen. But if they don't respect me, I'll remind them I'm still dad. Amen. Listen, I'm just trying to say this. There's a role of being a parent that God wants you and me to take. And it's a blessed role. And we got to put God's spiritual ingredients into it for it to be blessed. Now, let me ask you, are those ingredients in your heart? Are some of those ingredients in your life? Are you neglecting important ingredients, or are you minimizing them even though God said they're important? Don't do it. Put your faith in God's word today. Amen. Raise them in the nurture, the admonition of the Lord. And I believe what God is teaching us in Proverbs 22 and verse 6 is that when they are nurtured, raised, loved, disciplined, all these things, that God will bless that home and God will bless those children. And they're going to want to serve the Lord when they get old. Amen. Oh, listen, I'm not just raising my children so they'll do what I say today. I'm raising so they'll do what God says tomorrow.